Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson, and joining me today is Grace. And Grace, I have a question for you. We're talking interviews today. So do you have an interview question that really stumped you?
Okay, funny you should ask. There's been a handful.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned some on previous episodes, but the one that really was probably the, not only did it stump me, but it was also very unique, was I was interviewing. It was my third and final interview for a position. And somehow it had come up that I really like to watch movies. Mm-hmm. I love to watch movies. I'm a TV girl all the way, movies, TV. And they asked me, what's the last movie you saw? I think it was just like a conversational question off the cuff. And I seriously was like a deer in headlights. I just like stared.
What are movies?
Exactly. Like normally I could talk hours about movies. Yes. You could like I could spend a whole week talking about movies. But yeah, I just really was stumped and just stared at them and then kind of laughed. I was like, I guess I'm too nervous. I can't, you know, think of one. And they laughed too. And it was ended up fine. And I still got offered the position. But that really caught me off guard for some reason.
But I think handling it in kind of that genuine way of being able to just laugh at yourself, like, this is ridiculous. I cannot think of the last movie I watched.
Yes.
Must be stressed. You know, like, just be real about it.
And they get it because they know that you're nervous. And it's like, you know, it ended up being fine, but it was just.
And that actually would probably be a very fun thing to include in your thank you note.
Yeah.
You could have said, and I remembered the movie.
Yes. Yeah. True. I don't think I did that, but I should have listened to this podcast.
Well, you got the job anyway. So
True. Well, Megan, I'm curious if you have an example of the easiest type of interview you've ever had.
Yeah. So, you know, a super casual one I had was back in high school. For my first like real position other than babysitting. And it was at a clothing store, and I literally walked in kind of wearing similar attire to the, you know, the type of clothing they wear there. So like, oh, you look so cute. We chatted for a few minutes and then they're like, oh yeah, I think you'd be great at this job. It's like, okay, perfect.
And I'm glad, I like that you mentioned that example because I feel like at this point in time, a lot of our listeners probably have really only had interviews similar to that.
Yes.
Like for part-time jobs, they're often, they can be kind of a little bit more laid back. So that's why today we're going to talk about some other types of interviews.
Yeah. So that is what we're going to be breaking down today. Because surprisingly, there are so many different types of interviews.
Yeah.
According to an Indeed article, there actually are over 20 types of interviews. Now, we're not going to, you know, give you 20 today, but we're going to go with some of the most common from that list, some of which you've probably had, and some of which, I mean, there's a few on here that you might have never even heard of, this type of interview, depending on what industry you're looking to go into. So hopefully that's helpful as you are navigating the interview scene.
Yes.
Good deal. Okay, so I'll kick it off with the first one, which is very, very common. It's a phone interview. So this is just a format that's used typically as kind of that first contact between the candidate and the recruiter. It's going to be something that is likely fairly short. Mm-hmm. The questions are likely fairly simple, just more, you know, getting to know you, maybe getting to know your background a little bit. But, you know, it's not going to be the most in-depth thing because really they're just trying to narrow down that applicant pool before they start bringing people in, which is obviously a much more time intensive process than just chatting on the phone for 15 minutes.
Yeah. And I would say these are very common.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, our tips for these are to smile when you're talking. It actually makes a difference. Your tone
changes. Wait, Megan, let's do a test.
Okay. All right.
Right now, I am not smart. No, I'm just changing my voice to you now.
Then I think you did the robot voice. Yeah.
Well, you heard it, folks.
Yeah. I mean, we're always smiling when we're doing this podcast. So hopefully you can feel our joy.
Exactly.
You know, little things like not chewing gum. You know, a lot of the same rules apply as when you're face to face or virtual, any of those. But I would say still be prepared, even though it is probably going to likely be maybe a little bit more informal than other types of interviews.
Yeah,
still prepare.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So the next one then is the traditional interview, which what we mean by that is basically it's a one-on-one interview. It's you and the person doing the hiring for that job. So that is, you know, going to be a list of questions, and we'll get into some types of questions a little bit later on. This is kind of that one-on-one experience where you get a chance to really share who you are. You hopefully get a lot of opportunities, and you should take the opportunities to share as many stories and examples as you can, because that's what's going to make a traditional interview a lot more interesting for the person on the other end.
And I would say, too, this is probably the one that most of our listeners are most familiar with is yes. the traditional.
Exactly.
At this point.
Exactly.
Right, if you haven't
and you might, you probably going into any interview, you probably assume it's going to feel like this. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's always good to kind of check. I actually had a terrible interview experience where I thought I was going into, it was like a, I forgot what the job title was, but it was something where they were like, you're going to be doing sales and marketing. And it was going to be a one-on-one interview, and they didn't ask me a single question.
That's
literally
a red flag.
Sat there hearing them talk about their company and what they do, but they didn't give me any actual information. I just heard about like golf outings and random things that they do as a team. Mm-hmm. So looking back, especially now as a career advisor, I know that that was a huge red flag for an organization that, you know, likely was going to be having me do something like door-to-door sales without wanting to tell me that kind of in the first interview. So that was kind of the, I thought it would be a traditional interview and then it really wasn't.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, if you can get the interviewer to talk more than you, that's always great.
Yeah.
But if they don't ask you one question, that's a pretty big
red flag. You better assess why that happened. Yeah, exactly. And then the second interview is another format. So congratulations. When you get to that second round, that's a huge, huge next step. And that means they're narrowing that pool of candidates down quite a bit. And you might in that interview, you might interact with the person that you spoke with or interviewed with the first time, but you likely will meet some other people in the organization. You might do things like get a tour if it's an in-person. There can be a lot of things that kind of go into that second interview, but it likely is going to be going a little deeper in terms of your experience and who you are than the initial.
Yeah. Be a little bit, take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fourth one is virtual. And I won't go too in depth with this because we do actually have a whole episode on tips for virtual interviews.
Yes.
I think it's in season 3, maybe.
Sure. So, we'll add it in the show notes.
Yeah, there we go. But I will say just some things to keep in mind. They are more common now, especially after or like during COVID and in the last few years. But just some things to keep in mind is that you do want to make sure your technology is working beforehand. So just have like maybe a friend call you on whatever platform they're using to make sure it's working, and then make sure that your lighting and background look great, because we have heard some horror stories about, you know, people's background. I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect. If you're in your house, like, you know, there's only so much you can do, but make your bed. I mean, try not to have your bed in the background, first of all. But if you have to, like, make sure it's clean, made.
Yes.
Close closet doors, all that kind of stuff. So, so that's a virtual one. The next one is a panel or team interview. These are very common. Often, you know, when you're getting hired in for a career position somewhere, at least one of your interviews will probably
I would say 99% of professional interviews, at some point you're going to experience more than one person across the table.
Yes. And that's what a panel or team interview is. That's when you have multiple people interviewing you at once. And I think it can feel intimidating because sometimes you walk into a room and there might be, you know, quite a few people in there who are ready to ask you some questions. But just remember that it's really essentially the same as a one-on-one. You just have to make sure that you're looking at everyone periodically to include them all in the conversation. And I have actually an example of one that I did, which was both virtual and a panel. I was working in Arizona as a teacher and I was applying for schools in Michigan. So it had to be virtual because I was long distance. And so it was a virtual interview and it was the final one. And it was panel. And they didn't tell me this, but by panel, they meant literally like 30 plus people.
Oh
so
my gosh,
it was,
that's
I think,
so many.
I know. And that's kind of uncommon, but it can happen. But essentially what happened, I think, is that they just said, okay, we're interviewing one of our candidates. Whoever wants to come into the interview, go ahead. And then the part that was really funny is that because it was virtual, they literally projected me. It's at a school. They projected me onto like an overhead. So I was, you know, probably the size of a wall on my face.
My gosh.
But it ended up fine. But you never know when you do those. And then the next one, this one is one that I think is maybe less common. And they really intrigue me personally because it's one of the only types I have not had myself. And it's a group interview. And so in a group interview, multiple candidates are being interviewed at once Typically, each candidate will answer the same question, or sometimes they might have you do an activity together.
Yeah, it might be a collaborative exercise of some sort.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I've heard examples from students who have like applied to John Balzu, for example, and they did a group interview where you had to do sort of like a team builder activity mm-hmm. together, like untangle yourself from a knot, that sort of thing. And I think often in those types of settings, they're really looking to see how you work with others. Mm-hmm. So just make sure that you're, you know, you want to take some charge, but you don't want to bulldoze others, and just think about how you're interacting with everyone.
I know that Teach for America used to, or maybe still does, have mm-hmm. a group interview component to their process as yeah. well. Because, yeah, you're going to be a teacher in a school and you need to be able to collaborate with your fellow teachers. You're obviously working with a room full of students. So seeing how you interact with people is a key part of that role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the next one here, number 7, is the offsite or restaurant interview. So sometimes a manager may choose an offsite location that's maybe more casual than an office setting or their organization to get to know you better. And this may be more conversational. So sometimes in my experience, they don't always have like a set list of questions they're going to ask right. you. It's more of a conversation, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean it's not an interview. So make sure you're still bringing your A game. And I would also say something to consider is sort of think of it like maybe a first date where mm-hmm. you don't want to order or something really messy. Like right. think about, you know, is this going to be easy to eat and right. carry on a
Can
conversation?
Can I eat it just with a fork, or do I have to like pick it up with both yes. hands?
You might want to avoid like, you know, spaghetti. Yes. You might want to avoid a messy burger.
Maybe like an easy salad or something.
Yes. And yeah. also, you know, just in a couple other things with this one. They can be kind of more fun and casual, but there's also some added stressors of like, well, how much should I spend? Because usually yes. the interviewer should yes. pick up the tab typically. Yes. So often what will happen is you can let them you can let them order first and mm-hmm. you can kind of see what price they went with and go with mm-hmm. something similar to that. You can always ask them beforehand, oh, what's good here, to get yes. an idea of what to order. And yep. another thing with that is alcoholic beverages, just mm-hmm. Be cautious with that. I would right. say only for sure only order one if they do first, and even then you might want to just be
even in an yeah
cautious,
especially if it's more of a like a networking thing.
Oh yeah.
But if it's an interview like we're talking about, I mean, you kind of want to be sharp anyways.
Exactly.
So, yeah perfect, cool. Okay, the next one is one that some of you, I'm guessing, have not heard of. And this is called the MMI, which stands for Multiple Mini Interview. This is a format that's typical when you're applying to medical schools. You might also see it in other like grad or professional programs, but you know, typically it's happening kind of at that post-undergraduate level. And there's a lot of different ways that they can happen, but typically there are stations that the applicants are kind of rotating through, and at each station, you're given a scenario, and you then go into the room or into the booth or go up to the table of the person who you're interacting with for that one, and you're going to walk them through how you would respond to that particular scenario. So what they're looking for is not just, you know, do you get to the right answer? Because there might not even be a yeah. right answer. It's just, can you walk them through step by step your reasoning? Because I would say, you know, in most things in life, but certainly in like a more, you know, medical scenario, there's going to be ethical implications yeah. to what's happening. There are always going to be pros and cons of the choices that are made. Mm-hmm. So being able to speak to kind of both sides and really explain your thought process and how you arrive at which, you know, kind of response you actually choose is what they're looking for. Because it's not always just going to be like crystal clear, correct answer is A, right? And you also want to make sure that, you know, if you're given 5 minutes, use the entire 5.
Yeah.
And you've actually observed one, right?
Yeah. So yeah. I believe Class Advising still does this for pre-professionals.
Yeah.
They'll do practice ones. Yeah. And when I was still getting my degree here at Grand Valley, I did sort of like an externship in their office.
Oh, cool.
And I was able to see them do the practice MMIs. And it was really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's a little bit stressful if you're one yep. of the people doing it. But But yeah, it's really, you really want to try to take up as much time as you have to really mm-hmm. explain your thought process and your decision making.
Yep. It's like, I mean, it's thinking on your feet.
Yes.
Which all interviews are, but kind of that's.
And that's what you do as working in the medical fields, right? Is you have to really,
yeah,
sometimes
real
it's life or death to think, right. you gotta think on your feet.
You have to do it right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right. The next type would be a career fair interview. And so I kind of use interview a little bit more lightly because career fairs, and, you know, we're back in person now this year for our larger career and internship fair, which essentially when you're walking around to the booths, you're going to be having teeny tiny little mini interviews with everyone. You kind of want to approach them in that way. So you might hopefully be able to have a little knowledge of the organization you're going up to, have a sense for the types of opportunities they have that you want to learn more about, things like that. So, you know, especially when it's in person, you do want to dress professionally. I think that's really important. It's great to have a resume. So you're doing a lot of the same preparation that you would do for a one-on-one or a group interview or whatever. It's just going to be a micro version of that. And I will say there also are companies who they might meet you at the booth and then either on site, take you maybe to the break room and do a quick, like, more in-depth interview there with you one-on-one. Or they might say, can you come to our office tomorrow or next week or something? Yeah. So I think always kind of being as prepared as possible and just as open-minded to whatever kind of happens through that interaction, not letting it catch you off guard.
Yeah, good point. Good tips.
Yeah. So we'll stop there. Feel free to check out our show notes with that article with the 20 types if you want to read more about some of the lesser common ones that we've come up against. So now we're going to move into more like interview content. So some of the types of questions you might receive and just in general, some ways to kind of categorize or theme the questions that you might see in any of those interview types and formats that we just mentioned.
So the first one is a performance question for a performance question where they might ask you to do something in front of them that would be part of your job. So for I've had actually quite a few of these. One I had when I was a teacher, I had to teach a math lesson to a real group of third graders.
Oh my goodness. It was with the real students.
Yep. With real students. That one they did tell me beforehand so I could kind of prep, and I had some manipulatives with me and stuff that I knew I would need. Another one was for this position I have now. I had to do a resume review in front of the interviewing committee. and I will say, I think that often that one stresses people out. However, when you're in the moment, sometimes I think it's almost the easiest because you forget about yourself a little bit. Right. It's almost easier not to have to talk about yourself and to just be able to focus on the task.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It really depends, but
for sure. Okay, so then the next one is scenario, which we covered this a little bit when we were talking about that MMI, kind of that more that you see more commonly in med school interviews. But you could encounter a scenario question really in most formats of interviews. So in this scenario, you are given a prompt. You're given a situation that the interviewer wants to know what you would do, how you would handle that, right? So many times it's a situation you haven't encountered before, and they're looking not just for your approach, but as I kind of mentioned before, it might be an ethical dilemma. Maybe it's a conflict of interest. So you want to, it's all about the process of how you arrive at kind of your final decision of what you would do, so that person across from you can, you know, because they're using the scenarios, they're going to probably be pretty real life to the job that you're applying for. So it's a great way for them to see how you would approach a real world problem that you might need to tackle once you're starting the job. So you really want to think through all elements of that and not just have a super brief, well, I would do this.
Yeah. And sometimes too, even if it's a hypothetical scenario, you might have had something similar happen previously that you can kind of draw a connection to.
Good call.
And say, I've never had that happen. However, I did have this, this experience. And this is what I did then. So I, you know,
I think I would approach it similarly.
The next one is a case interview. So during a case interview, the interviewer asks you to analyze and solve a challenging business situation or, you know, situation for that specific field. Many of the cases they present are based on real life situations, often having occurred at the company. Technology, financial and consulting industries may use a case interview to see how you problem solve in situations that you may experience at work. And it is actually kind of similar to the scenario mm-hmm. question, in that you really want to be verbal about what your decision-making process is and why you've decided to do what you're going to do in that case.
Yes, exactly. I will say maybe a little bit of a distinction with a case interview is I think there often can be a correct mm-hmm. answer.
Yeah,
like
point.
Your case might involve some sort of math calculations where you're solving
yep.
something. I'm thinking particularly, I know Deloitte Consulting, for example, they do some pretty in-depth case interviews, and yeah, you're doing some mental aerobics to kind of arrive, you know. Of course they want you to talk through the scenario, but sometimes there is an actual right answer as well. So
and when you think of it that way, it's kind of almost like a performance yeah. interview too. Like,
exactly.
Because you're doing what the job is. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Technical questions would be next. So a technical interview is a type of interview format employers use when they really want to gauge a candidate's technical skills as they relate to the position. So again, you'll see some overlap, right, in these styles of questions. Like a case interview style question could be very technical. But, you know, essentially they want you to show your stuff. This is your chance to kind of show a lot of maybe your more academic knowledge, things
yeah.
you learned in class. Here's how I would do that. So, you're going to see this more in technology, engineering, science, sometimes in healthcare, depending on the field. And, you know, it's really your chance to take a deep breath, not get too stressed out if right away you don't know. And definitely if you need some time to kind of reflect on it, be sure to ask for that.
Yeah.
Because they can be tricky. They might be multiple part questions. It's okay to kind of take a deep breath and ask for some time.
Yes. And that's I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's really true of any question.
Right.
You really do want to stop, mm-hmm. pause, think about it before yeah. answering. But yeah, definitely, especially for a question like a yeah. technical one.
Yeah.
The next one is one I have never experienced personally, and I'm kind of thankful once you hear it.
Yes.
It's called the stress test. So some professions put employees in stressful situations that require critical thinking and problem solving. A stress interview takes place when an interviewer asks intimidating or mildly uncomfortable questions in hopes of witnessing how a potential employee performs in a stressful situation. This type of interview gives the hiring team an opportunity to gauge how a candidate responds to stress, prioritizes multiple important tasks, or deals with challenging clients. The tactics used in these interviews vary based on the type of role the hiring team needs to fill. Hiring teams may ask complex or confusing questions, conduct a simulation or role play to see how you act in a certain situation, or ask you to perform a task to witness your technical abilities. And I think that with this one, the key is to remain calm.
Yes.
And again, if you need to take a minute, if you mm-hmm. need to ask them to repeat something, but just try to remain calm. It, you know, easier said than done, but just remember it's an interview. They're testing you. So,
yes.
you know, it's not a real situation if they're saying something that's uncomfortable to you. Well, there's a line there with
yeah. like a huge caveat,
yeah.
of course, when it's approaching the illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. So just take a deep breath and just do your best there. And they know that they're putting you in an uncomfortable spot.
Right. And they're likely, I mean, hopefully they're doing it for a good reason, because they want to make sure when you get into the actual role, you'll be able to handle the stressors of that position.
Exactly.
So hopefully it's kind of a fair
yes.
test that
yes.
they're giving you, because they know what they're putting you in when you start. Good. Okay. Diversity related questions. So these are questions that uncover what diversity means to you. So essentially really getting at your values. These sort of questions also are really maybe getting after your ability to work with others. I know for the Career Center, we definitely had a
yeah.
diversity related question. And so it's important for those questions. I think it's probably most important to have, you know, kind of a set of stories, have thought through some examples of times in your life where you've worked with a variety of people who are different from you. So think really broadly.
Yeah.
And try to, you know, kind of narrow in on some actual stories you can tell, because it those questions are pretty easy to just be like, well, of course I believe in this, or
yeah,
of course this is important. But until you make it real with an example from your life, it's not going to really have any teeth.
Yeah. And be as positive as you can, yeah, especially in your, yeah, language. One thing I've noticed when I do practice interviews with students, I do ask a diversity question. And sometimes I've heard people use the language like deal with, like I had to deal with this, you know, like sure, whatever. And, you know, just even though they aren't maybe necessarily intending for that to sound negative, yep, it kind of does. So
yeah,
you just, you know, these ones, just practice and think about, yep, the stories you want to tell and make sure that you're being positive and mm-hmm, how you value diversity and people who are different from you.
Yep.
All right. The next one is an uncommon question. And we kind of talked about this a little bit at the beginning when mm-hmm, I mentioned the one that stumped me about the, yes, movies. But these questions feel like they have zero place in the interview. They will make no sense as to why they're asking. So, for example, you might get asked something like, if you could be a superhero, what superhero would you be? If you could get rid of one of the states in the nation, oh, which, no, one? If you were a candy bar, what would you be? These questions are looking at how you handle getting thrown something you weren't expected, your sense of humor, creativity, et cetera. And like in my example, obviously I didn't handle it well in the sense that I didn't have an answer, but mm-hmm, I laughed and I showed my personality, yes, that I was like, I didn't let being ruffled phase me. Like I just, exactly, kind of laughed with them and apologized.
Because truly they don't care what animal, no, you would want to be. It's or almost what just your like last movie was.
Exactly. It's, yeah, almost just more of a personality check. Like
100%.
Can you laugh at yourself? Or,
right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. Not taking yourself too seriously. Yeah. The worst thing to do, I would say, would be like, eh, I don't know.
And just, what, not play along at,
yeah,
all.
Yeah. And not play along, yeah, at all. Like, mm-hmm, basically telling them it's a dumb question.
Yeah, totally.
Essentially. Good. Okay. Open-ended questions are the next type, which really these are, you might be asked to discuss a topic that hopefully you know something about. Maybe you don't, but you know, for example, for a med school interview, you might be asked to discuss a topic related to something going on in healthcare,
yeah,
right now. So this is a good chance to kind of, often I would say, maybe often is too strong of a word, but sometimes, you know, it's around something that's current, a, yeah, current conversation in the field, something that's important. So it's another, you know, thing to research, right?
Yep.
Kind of understanding, reading some news related to the company, related to the industry, related to the field, so that you're kind of equipped with some of that knowledge. So if you're asked one of these open-ended questions, you have something to say.
Yeah, that. And I mean, it kind of goes along with a lot of the other stuff.
It does.
The other questions that, yeah, you may have.
But for sure.
The next one is presentation. And it's kind of exactly what it sounds like. You might be asked to give a presentation in your interview. I think I've only had two, both for higher ed positions. I was so nervous for both, especially the one for the job I have now, because I already knew the people I would be presenting to, which I, for me personally, is just the worst. Like,
yes,
I can public speak okay if it's like a bunch of people I don't know.
Sure.
But the second you put one person I know in the crowd, I will get so nervous. So, really, it's just a matter of preparing. Often they will tell you beforehand what the topic will be. When I did one at U of M and they let me choose my topic, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then the one I had here, they gave me a specific topic to cover. Mm-hmm. And but you get to prep beforehand for sure. I would say one recommendation I have, and this is just the teacher in me, is try to come up with some questions for the group mm-hmm. while you present so that you can take some of the focus off you. So like present something and then ask them an engaging question mm-hmm. to talk with each other about, because even though it's an interview, it doesn't have to be all you talking typically. I mean,
definitely
maybe it depends
not.
On the subject, but like I found that to be really helpful.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Awesome. Okay. Our last kind of style of question is, it's our catch-all.
Yeah.
We're saying these are our standard questions. And we threw behavioral-based questions kind of under that umbrella because they are so, so common.
Yeah.
And we're not going to go into super depth on those because we have an entire podcast just devoted to behavioral-based interviews.
Yeah.
And we go and give lots of examples of, you know, what those might sound like. But, you know, if you are completely new to this topic, these behavioral-based questions are like, tell me about a time when. Give an example. Basically, you're going to be telling a story.
Yeah.
So listen to our other episode for all our tips.
Teaser.
Yeah. Come on now. And subscribe, right? Like, follow this podcast. The other kind of standard style of question would be the W's. So the who, what, when, where, why. So who might be. Tell me about yourself. Who are you? What are your strengths and weaknesses? The what could be, what do you know about us? What do you know about this role? The why could be, why do you want to work for us? Why do you want this position? Why do you want to be a XYZ nurse, yeah, teacher, whatever? You know, I would say these are great kind of warm-up prep questions.
Yeah.
But they're still very, very important.
Totally.
Yeah. You have to be able to know why you want to work there.
Some interviews consist solely of these. Like, exactly. You know, they're very common.
Very common. Super standard. And then the last one we'll say is, you know, do you have any questions for us?
Yes.
So it's
probably the most
common. I would say so many interviews end that way.
Yeah.
And it's your chance then to ask questions. And, you know, the number one tip there is just to have some.
Yeah.
And hopefully to have, you know, thought through what some genuine questions you have are.
Genuine, open-ended.
Open-ended, yeah, about the organization, about the role, about, you know, the work culture. You can even ask your interviewers some specific questions about how they feel working at that organization.
Yeah.
Lots of things you can do for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we covered it.
I think so too. I feel like we just talked a lot.
Yep.
But yeah, hopefully it's helpful to kind of start thinking through some of these interviews, maybe the ones you haven't encountered, and how you're gonna prepare and then deal with it.
And if you're still listening, because this is one of our longest podcasts, yes, of the season, we give you props. Come into the Career Center,
yes,
and say, I listened to the end of the interview episode, and we'll give you a free pen.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I will sew, and maybe some candy. I will find some swag for you. Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Yes, please come in and let us know. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much to everyone for listening, and we hope you tune in to a future episode soon.